Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me.
It may have been a quiet week in the Vatican as Benedict XVI is on his Lenten spiritual exercises, but it certainly wasn't a quiet one at one of the pontifical universities here in Rome, where a conference by the title Biological Evolution, Facts and Theories, a critical appraisal a century and a half since Charles Darwin's The Origin of Species was taking place.
Yes, this cornerstone of evolutionary biology is the theme currently being discussed by a great number of academics from across the world at this pontifical university, which happens to be the Jesuit Gregorian, which indeed organized this conference in collaboration with the University of Notre Dame under the high patronage of the Pontifical Council for Culture. The thinking behind this conference is that in the light of recent scientific developments, this issue of biological evolution clearly deserves careful and serious reconsideration from a scientific point of view, but also from a philosophical and theological perspective, in an effort to avoid ideological positions that have so often dominated the debate.
Irene Lagan went along to the conference and spoke to one of the guests there. He began by introducing himself and indeed by greeting all of you. Let's listen.
Hi, I'm Jeff Fader. I'm a professor at the University of Notre Dame and a fellow at the Wissenschaft College zu Berlin.
Why is this conference important?
Well, it shows that the church is not opposed to the ideas of evolution and accepts that natural processes could be responsible for generating the great diversity of life. And I think that's an important message to the flock and the faithful of the church to understand that. So that's why I think that this, why this particular conference is very important in showing that this is the church's thinking. It's not in opposition to faith.
One of the topics that's going to be discussed, or that is being discussed at this conference, is intelligent design. What is exactly intelligent design? Where did this come from? Where did it begin?
Well, it's an oxymoron. There's nothing intelligently designed, really, in nature when you get down to it. It's all jerry-rigged. Evolution works on the material that it's handed with, and natural selection is the same. So there's nothing really that's intelligently designed. The idea is that there are natural phenotypes, or that there are things in nature that are organismally based that can't be reduced in their complexity, that can't be explained by evolution in steps or stages. And that's just not the case. It's not true. And the ideas date back probably to William Paley, but William Behe has more recently picked up the argument on intelligent design. And when one understands, for instance, things like when you look at an eye and it's so complicated and how did all of these pieces evolve? Well, they didn't evolve all at once. It isn't like a tornado coming through a junkyard and suddenly assembling this miraculous structure that allows us to see light. It didn't. It happened in stages. First, there may have been photopigments that came to be that helped direct an organism at a certain stage, and it changed through times. Lenses then came into being to help focus the light. So it's not a single huge step at once. It's tiny steps that are each individually favored that led to eyes.
The title of your talk is The Mystery of Speciation. Here you have Charles Darwin once described speciation as the mystery of mysteries. Now, you are going to shed light on advances in our understanding of this process. Could you just describe a little bit about how we are to understand this process and maybe a word of what exactly that means? I'm taking it to mean a diversification of species.
Yeah. Darwin used the word mystery not so much in the sense that he didn't understand that speciation was a natural process generating the great diversity of life on Earth. He used it more in a sense of awe and fascination that worldly processes could lead through things like natural selection to the genesis or generation of new species. And I think that's was the real mystery in solving that mystery in terms of natural processes that drove Darwin.
So how should then people speak intelligently of evolution from a perspective of faith?
Should recognize that there are things in the natural world that are not metaphysical, that materialistic processes can explain the genesis of new species. And this isn't the realm, or isn't a realm for faith, it's the realm of science. And that these new origins of species, it's not just deduction. We can actually test and show how these new species form.
What do scientists have to say to theologians on this issue, and vice versa?
I think that in some sense, evolution and speciation is beyond the realm of engagement for theologians or for faith. It's a field where we can frame hypothesis and we can go out and do specific scientific tests, and it's got a materialistic basis. Where I think it's more important is to understand that we all have something to contribute to our understanding of life and of being human and of being part of this universe, and that we can all sort of harness our individual knowledge and skills collectively to make a difference. And by talking together and understanding each other on that point, instead of these conflicts, we can use what we know in our given spheres of understanding to help humanity and alleviate human pain and suffering. And I think that's the most important thing.
You were listening there to Professor Jeffrey Feder, one of the guests at the conference focusing on biological evolution, currently taking place at the Pontifical Gregorian University here in Rome. Our thanks to him and, of course, to Irene Lagan. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.